You've said it before. This will only take a second. Just a quick glance. A fast reply. But on the road, seconds don't wait for you. They decide everything. Who stops, who doesn't, who makes it home. So next time your phone lights up, ask yourself, is this distraction worth a ticket or even a life? Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So happy to have you with us today, and trust you're doing well wherever you might be. So, we're going to get to the whole war in Iran thing. It's, right now it's a great big mess. And, here's basically the gist of it. And I think we're all going to have to learn to just deal with this. Based on what I heard yesterday, and when I say heard, I mean in the press conferences. And a lot of times, you know, when you're watching these press conferences, or you're listening to the press conferences, you really do have to listen to what they're saying, the words they're using. And yesterday when Raisin Kane, General Kane, was going through and he said, you know, we, you know, our guys drink 6 million gallons of coffee and we, no, I don't know, 6 million, but it was a lot of coffee and we had energy bars and all that. They were kind of running down the list. And when he did that, that was the clue. That was the clue that we're out of there. We're packing up. We're getting ready to, we're just waiting for the signal to bring everybody back home. So here's the deal. I'm just going to share this with you. And the concern here is that I may possibly anger the entire audience. I mean, this is the risk that your host is going to take right now because I don't think this is going to make anybody happy. Trump is going to declare victory. That's what's going to happen. And we pretty much all but done that. And Caroline Levitt, the press conference yesterday, pretty much all but said, we've won, we've accomplished all of our mission, and it is time to move on. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think the Iranians are probably going to ease up on the missile launches for just a little while, and then they'll, you know, resume all of that. And there'll be a lot of condemnation, but at the end of the day, I'm not sure that we've accomplished what we wanted to accomplish, except we blew up a whole lot of stuff, and it may take them, and certainly I think we pretty much destroyed their Navy, and it'll take them a while to rebuild all of that. But I think that President Trump is pretty frustrated right now with a lot of the advice and a lot of the intel he was getting. Now, for me personally, and this is where I stand, I've always believed that we should have wiped Iran off the face of the map back in 1979. We did not do that. Jimmy Carter took a pass. He did not want to do that. When the Iranian proxies, known as Hezbollah, blew up the Marine Corps barracks in Beirut, Lebanon, killing 241 of our U.S. service members back in 1983, it was at that point that I said, you know what, Ronald Reagan needs to push the button and wipe Iran off the face of the earth. Didn't happen. And so then every other president at that point, Iran feels emboldened. And since then, hundreds and hundreds of Americans, not to mention other citizens of other nations, have been killed by the Iranians. They're very dangerous, evil people. Right now in Iran, they throw gay people off building tops, off rooftops. They do other horrible, appalling things. They force the women out of colleges and universities. And if you know anything about the Persian culture, Persian women are stunningly beautiful. And they force the women to start covering first their heads, then their entire bodies. And they're not allowed to go out in public and wear dresses and let their hair out. They're not allowed to do that. They're not allowed to go to school. They destroyed the Paris of the Middle East, Tehran. At this moment, you've got all of these folks that are protesting in the streets, and many of them are young people. Many of them are just kids, 17, 18, 19 years old, and these kids are they're being slaughtered. As a matter of fact, a couple of days ago, there was a young man, 19 years old, and his crime was to march in one of these protests. And as a result of his decision to step out into the streets and protest the Iranian regime, he was killed, executed. They strung him up and they lynched this kid. That's who the Iranian people are. These are very evil people. And that's why when, and again, if you are to believe the videos that we have seen, when the Americans started dropping bombs and blowing up a lot of the government buildings, you had people cheering in Iran because they knew that hope was on the way. And I do wonder almost, and this may be an unfair comparison, and I have no doubt that you will let me know if you think it is, but it's almost as if at this moment in time, and I want to qualify this, at this moment in time, it just seems to me that we're almost at a Bay of Pigs moment. Because the people I'm thinking about are those young people that put everything on the line. They're not allowed to own weapons. They're not allowed to have weapons. So they have to fight with their fist. They have to fight with their words. And that's sort of hard to do when the other side is armed to the teeth with tanks and weapons. But those kids are putting it all on the line. And I do wonder about them, but they feel like maybe a sense of betrayal. Because let me explain what's going to happen. While the mullahs may have been blown to smithereens, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, which is even more radical, they're not from a religious standpoint, they're just flat out evil. They are now in charge of Iran. And there will not be regime change unless you consider the Iranian Revolutionary Guard being in charge to be a somewhat of a revolution. But I don't think that's what Trump was wanting here. So all that to say, I don't think anybody's getting everything they wanted here. And I'm not sure we got anything we wanted. Have we actually, and you know, it's Britt Hume over at Fox News actually raised a very fair point in all of this. What exactly was our mission there? What exactly was the mission? Now, there is some reporting that Trump is frustrated with Israel, and he believes that Benjamin Netanyahu possibly may have misled us. That is some reporting from the New York Times. And I don't know about that. It's hard to know what to believe. And I will tell you that the White House right now they're keeping the messaging tight to the vest. So we're not getting any intel at all about what's going on. And that concerns me. That tells me that they're in a bit of it's not a tailspin, but they're having some difficulty trying to get back on message here. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that there were many people within the administration that did not want the president to take the action he took. And then I think the late night messaging, it really put everyone in a box. When you say that you're going to, you know, wipe somebody off, you know, wipe a civilization off the face of the earth, what does that mean? So that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. And I think at the end of the day, they're hoping the American people, and we all have short-term memory here in this country, are going to forget about it. We're going to have our ships over there. We'll have our troops over there for a couple of weeks, and then they'll start coming home. And gas prices will hopefully go down, and that'll be that. And there will be a fair conversation about what exactly did we accomplish over there. Was it regime change? Because if it was regime change, that didn't work. And did we actually stop their ability to produce nuclear weapons? And that is the big question. So we're going to take your calls on this. Curious to hear your thoughts on it. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And I suppose that the, the MTGs of the world, the Tucker Carlsons and Candace Owens, they've got, you would think they would be somewhat happy here, but they're not. Now they're saying that Trump is crazy, and they're actually calling for the White House, the cabinet, to invoke the 25th Amendment. And this is insane. But MTG and Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens and Megyn Kelly, Nick Fuentes, they all seem to believe they're going to be the elder statesman here to determine who is going to lead once Trump leaves office. I want you to listen, cut number one, please.
And my God, gut the deep state. That was what we wanted so bad. Hold people accountable, for the love of God. Put Anthony Fauci in jail. Put people in prison for what they've done to the American people.
Oh, they killed, Todd Blanche killed all the investigations now. He's the head of all those investigations.
Yeah, and nothing will happen. That's the other thing. So here, going forward in the future, Alex, I believe this is the discussion that we need to keep having. And we are, me and you and others, and we do it offline, and it's important. And we need to make sure that we're in control and we're guiding the ship, because President Trump is soon to be the past. And everyone needs to learn to start looking past him. President Trump is going to be gone very soon. And we have to build a future for our children and our grandchildren. And that's the part that's most important to think about. And the way I think it needs to be going forward is we have to recognize what a failure the Republican Party is. We have to be willing to step outside political boundaries and go, what type of leaders do we really want? And for me, it's America first. I want moral America first leaders that will put the American people first instead of their own interest or their friends or whatever disgusting things they're doing, which is sadly the case. But I think that is where the future is going. And Republicans are going to get killed in the midterms. I've been saying it for a long time. They're going to get, it's going to be a bloodbath. And you know what? It shouldn't happen. It wasn't supposed to be that way, but so be it. You can't blame people for refusing to want to vote for a party that has failed them over and over and over again. And I don't blame people. It's like, why do you want to keep buying a product that is crap?
All right, that's MTG, and I think I understand where she's coming from, but here's the problem with MTG. She quit on us. She abandoned us. She decided to take her millions of dollars that she earned and go back home to Georgia. So she's honestly irrelevant to me. But Ann Coulter is now, I want to share this from Ann. So there was a big New York Times story. And this will be a big question asked in the White House press briefing, because clearly people were talking to the New York Times. All right. That's something you do need to understand. People are talking to the New York Times within the administration, and every single Trump advisor is now off the record telling the Times they were opposed to Netanyahu's argument for the war. Rubio calling it BS. General Kane said it was standard operating procedure for the Israelis. They oversold the war. Susie Wiles said she was against being dragged into another war in the Middle East. Stephen Chung said, how would they explain away 8 months of insisting that Iranian nuclear facilities have been totally obliterated? And again, this is a great point, because all of those things were supposed to have already been obliterated and destroyed. So we're getting mixed messaging, which is why there's so much controversy right now within the conservative movement. So the question now is, did Netanyahu and the Israelis actually oversell all of this? This will be addressed. And the article, by the way, in the New York Times is actually coming from, it was pulled out of a forthcoming book written by Maggie Haberman and Jonathan Swan. So this will be asked, and the White House is going to have to address this, whether saying, no, the entire book is a lie and Maggie Haberman never talked to anybody, or no comment. I mean, there's really not much wiggle room there. All right, we've got to take a break here. You heard MTG. Do you believe the midterms are going to be a disaster? And if so, how would you blame? Where do you place the blame for the disaster? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hey, everybody. Todd Stern's here, and I've got to tell you about my friends at PhD Weight Loss, my very good friends at PhD Weight Loss. I'm down 12 pounds already, and at PhD Weight Loss, they've identified that one thing, and they built a plan that works with your body and not against it. If you call now, they're going to give you 2 free weeks in the program and pay for your food so you can finally see real results without more trial and error. If you're done with the yo-yo dieting and you want clarity, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Starnes. No more guessing, just answers. Call 864-644-1900 and say, Starnes, you're going to get 2 free weeks. You can't miss out on this, folks. 864-644-1900. Say the word Starnes or visit phdweightloss.com. That's phdweightloss.com. The phone number, one more time, 864-644-1900, and say Starnes.
Well, folks, listen. I don't trust the New York Times. All right, but hear me, when you've got enough people blabbing off the record, it does give you pause. And the reason why I say this, Maggie Haberman, you may not like her. She's a far leftist. I get that. But she's also not stupid. And she knows that President Trump will sue, and he has a long track record of suing anyone who puts out fake news. So there's a reason why within the administration, they're wanting these stories to come out, and I think there's a lot of concern that President Trump may be influenced here by Israel. I don't believe that to be the case. I really don't. President Trump is his own man. He knows exactly what the heck he's doing, and he's not going to allow Benjamin Netanyahu or anyone else to interfere or influence whatever decision he's going to make. Does that mean our president is infallible? No, it does not. It means that sometimes he can make a mistake. But if the intel he's been given, and I want to go back to George W. Bush here for a moment. If the intel that Trump was given was bad intel, we need to know that, and we need to know that right away. Because we all know what happened. We all know what happened when George W. Bush got the fake information. Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. We will start the day in Alabama with Anthony. Hi, Anthony. What's on your mind? Hello, Anthony. All right. Let's go to Mike in Clear Lake City, Texas. Hi, Mike. What's going on? What's on your mind?
Oh, hello. How you doing today, Todd? The answer to your question is yes, it's going to be a bloodbath for the Republicans in the midterms, but it won't have anything to do with President Trump. It'll be because not one prominent Democrat has been arrested for any of their crimes, whether it be the fraud in Minnesota by the Somalis, whether it be the election fraud in Georgia, what the Epstein files uncovered, Letitia James and her mortgage fraud, the stuff that Fannie Willis did to go after Trump. I mean, the list goes on and on. Ilhan Omar, okay. She violated immigration law. She should be deported. She's guilty of immigration fraud. When is she going to be arrested? That's what the problem is. All this investigations going back to the Biden crime family, you know, under Comer and in Jordan, nothing's happened to anyone ever.
Mike, I mean, you're not wrong at all. I'm just as frustrated as everyone else is by the lack of movement here by the Justice Department. One way or the other, I would much rather them come out. Right now, they're not saying anything. But, Mike, I'd much rather them just come out and say, you know what, we looked into all of this, and it sure looks like crimes were committed, but you know what, there were no crimes committed, so we got to move on. These are very bad, evil people, but we just got to move on. They're not even doing that. And I think I understand. Maybe, just maybe, the administration may be underestimating the way a lot of folks feel about these investigations. Because, Mike, I'll tell you personally, I want to see people in jail for the rest of their lives for what they did to Donald Trump during that first election cycle. Mike, I got to run. Folks, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. We'll be right back.
Here's something most people don't know. When Warren Buffett was just 13 years old, he didn't put his money into a savings account. While other kids were earning next to nothing at local banks, Buffett put $114 into a little-known investment. Today, that $114 would be worth over $15 million. And it wasn't a risky trade, it wasn't even insider knowledge. It was an account that's been around since 1888, and over the last 25 years, it's averaged 29% a year. That's what happens when your money is allowed to compound. Compare that to today's savings accounts, paying less than 0.5%. While inflation quietly eats away at your buying power. Buffett understood early, banks are great businesses, just not for savers. If you'd like to see what some investors call the 29% account, go now to secretaccount29.com. That's secretaccount29.com. Secretaccount29.com.
All right, this segment of the Todd Starn Show, pardon me, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by our good friends at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. By the way, if you think switching is a hassle, it is not. With Patriot Mobile, you get to keep your number, you can keep your phone, you can upgrade, and their customer service team is based right here in the good old U.S. of A. The best thing about Patriot Mobile is that they use a portion of their profits to support so many ministries as well as organizations that are fighting for our freedom, fighting for the pro-life movement, and fighting for the Second Amendment. I want you to go and check them out. They've got a great cell phone service, patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd, or call them at 972-PATRIOT. Use promo code Todd, and they're going to give you a free month of service. That's 972-PATRIOT, promo code Todd. All right, let's go to the phones. We've got Anthony back with us in Alabama. Anthony, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot for taking my call, Mr. Starnes, and thank you for putting this information out, because we don't get a chance to hear a lot of this, what's really going on, but you're spot on with a lot of it. Anyway, I'd like to make a comment about Marjorie Taylor Greene. I don't always agree with her on what she says or what she does, but I think she's on to something here. Because a lot of people are really tired of voting for Republicans. They're not going to fix anything. They're not coming to save us. I've just read an article here that the Republicans are coming up with an amnesty bill of their own. Some woman named Salazar in Florida, and I read an article where this one guy, Lawler, was on Fox News with Laura Ingraham, and they're just as bad as the Democrats.
Well, let me jump in here, Anthony, because you're right about that. As a matter of fact, on yesterday's program, we alerted folks to Maria Salazar, who's a Republican lawmaker. She's a congresswoman from Florida, and she's advancing what she's calling the Dignity Act, but she wrote the actual name of the legislation in Spanish, the Dignidad Act. And it would basically give blanket amnesty to some 12 million people that are living in our nation illegally right now. And she's got a lot of Republicans who are supporting that legislation.
Yeah, like 18 of them. And, I think we really need another party. And I don't know how we could do that, because I think that the Democrats and the Republicans are so dug in. I think there's grifters, money launderers, liars on both sides of that aisle. They're always doing handshakes. They're glad handing and making deals behind closed doors. And we're constantly, we the people, being cut out of the whole process. The only thing we can usually do maybe is vote. And I don't think you can vote enough of these people out soon enough to fix this country. I think we got to get a new party some kind of way, but man, that's my pal. I'm just going to cut it off there and make it short. But, you know, you can go ahead and give your opinion on what I had to say. But thanks for all you do there, sir. You're doing a great job.
Anthony, I certainly appreciate that. And those are kind words. Look, I don't think I'm just going to try to speak truth here, folks, which is what we do every day. I don't think a third party is going to work, at least not anywhere in the near future. However, I think there is another way forward, and we're watching this unfold in Southern California right now with Congressman Kevin Kiley. He got redistricted by Gavin Newsom, and now he's running as an independent. So he's going to be, you know, if this works out, he will be an independent member of Congress. And we're watching, there are a few other independents running for Congress. And maybe that is the path forward, especially in some of the southern and midwestern states where, you know, if you're a popular Republican, you maybe, if you've got enough support, you might be able to pull off a win. But I think that may be the better opportunity, is that if you are an independent, you're not beholden to anybody except the people that voted for you and put you into office. And maybe that's what we need to do here. All right, let's go to Ocala, Florida. Sonny is on the line. Hi, Sonny. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. This is Sonny. What's on my mind is all this talk about the peace treaty and the ceasefire and this, that, and the other thing. If you have an old family Bible, open it up in the back. There's usually a map of the Holy Land. And the Holy Land, as far as I'm concerned, was Israel. And what is Israel today is a drop in the bucket compared to what the map of the Bible shows as the Holy Land. There was no Jordan. There was no Iraq. Iran was, I think, Persia. That was it. Or the next, the Far East. Wasn't that conquered by some of the hordes out of the, you know, Middle East, Genghis Khan. But anyway, the thing is, this is not right. And the deal with the ceasefire is between the U.S. and Iran. And they're still going after Israel with rockets. Why shouldn't they be able to shoot back? This does not make sense at all to me. And if this is the way the deal is going to go, I'm totally against it. We ought to start opening up on Iran and making a parking lot out of the place.
Sonny, that's been my thinking all along here. So I just don't think that we should have finished this. But again, you know, the White House comes out what 7-8 months ago and says we've completely obliterated Iran's nuclear capabilities, and now the explanation is because people rightly asked, well, wait a second, you said you destroyed it. What's going on now? Well, it looks like it was rebuilt. Okay, well, 8 months from now, you know, are we going to be in the same situation again? So it's a mess. We need to figure out, and we need to figure out what the point is. What is our objective here? And I think if we actually had a clear understanding of the objective, I think the American people could get behind that, and I think they would get behind it, and they would support the president. But I'm not sure we know what the objective is, to be perfectly honest with you. So, Sonny, thank you for the call. Let's go to Dave in Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Dave. What's on your mind?
Oh, hey, Todd. You're doing a great job. Enjoy your show. I think Rush would be proud of you.
Thank you.
What's on my mind is in all the stuff that's going on over there is just delaying the inevitable. Because the hatred between Ishmael and Isaac is true today, just as it was back when it was chronicled in the great historical document known as the Bible. The blood of Abraham, that's what it's all about, man. It's just a different time, a different place, but it's not going to end. And I just pray for the fine men and women in uniform who are doing their jobs and doing them beautifully. And as far as politics goes, Trump, Netanyahu, they're just bit players in the pages of history at this point.
Well, yes, they are. And Dave, that's a very important piece of the puzzle you're talking about here, because this is not some sort of a political war. This is not a war over the economy. At the heart of all of this, it's spiritual warfare. And this is a holy war. I mean, that's when President Trump mocked Allah in that message a few nights ago. I'm like, uh-oh, that's, yeah, I mean, that that really, I'm not sure if people really understood the importance and the significance of what Trump did there. But you're right. And the reality is this has been going on for centuries, and it is coming to a head. And we shall see how all this plays out. But I would encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, if you are not a Bible reader, if you are not, if you're not a church attender, I would encourage you to buy a Bible and find a Bible-believing church to go to. It will help you understand ultimately what's going on in the Middle East. Dave, I've got to run, but thank you for that. Thank you for that comment. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, let's go to Mike in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Mike, what's on your mind today?
Greetings, Todd. I agree with the previous caller, definitely, since literally 90% of our Congress is controlled by another lobby of another country. I would recommend supporting the independent candidate who will stand for truth, innocence, liberty, the original Constitution, the people of the land, and then focus on the root problems.
What would you, yeah, look, I again, when you have independent candidates, and typically if you're an independent, you know, here lately you caucus with the Democrats, but if there are enough of them, and I remember it was Elon Musk who came up with an idea to start his own sort of party where you only need about 20, 25 or so lawmakers, and then you become a very powerful, you know, division within the Congress. I mean, that becomes the deciding block, you know, when you're looking at votes. So, yeah, I think that may be the way to go here.
Well, I wouldn't do a party because parties like groups are overtaken, but there was a group in Congress not too long ago that they stood together, and they weren't necessarily a party, but they controlled what happened because they were basically a no vote on virtually anything that took us off the rail. And, you know, ours is just a root problem.
What group was that, by the way? Are you talking about the House Freedom Caucus?
I think so. I think so. I can't remember their name, but I just remember it seemed like there was only maybe 10 or so people that seemed to be slowing down everything in a good way at the moment.
Mm. Mike, it's a good thought, and I, again, maybe it's something that starts at the local level, and then we can see how that plays out. But I'm a big supporter of it. I feel very, very uncomfortable with what's been happening, especially with the Republicans in the U.S. Senate. Mike, thanks for that call. Well, there's interesting news out of Minnesota, where lawmakers there are wanting to legalize gay sex bathhouses. I didn't realize that was still a thing. And I'm surprised it's in Minnesota. I mean, if you'd have told me, well, San Francisco, well, okay, you know, I get that. But Minnesota, take a listen to Cut 5.
After the George Floyd riots, after the anti-ICE mobs, we hoped that Minneapolis would start to clean up its act, but we didn't think they'd take it in this direction. After a 38-year ban, Minneapolis city leaders are considering legalizing places, this is a quote, where sexual activity between consenting adults may be facilitated. We're talking bathhouses, because apparently doing that in your own home is, I guess, now outdated. Well, these clubs, bathhouse club places, were shut down during the AIDS crisis, obviously for health reasons. But now activists say they need to come back. Bring them back because they believe sex clubs provide dignity and, quote, community safety. They even claim that it's about promoting modern public health strategies. Here to weigh in, Dustin Greggy, Town Hall columnist. Dustin, come on. They were supposed to vote on this tonight, but the vote was put off, I understand. So what happened?
No, and frankly, this wasn't the only one either. They were also looking at designated parking lots where homeless people could sleep in their cars. We're talking about decriminalizing drug paraphernalia. This is the DSA platform of Minneapolis, and this is what they're trying to do next. They're trying to commercialize sex. And frankly, this is going to be the roadmap to actually bring sex work back into Minneapolis at some point, because this is their agenda, and this is what they actually want to pull off.
But what happened with this vote? So let's just focus on one outrage, which is the sex clubs, bathhouses, or whatever. So let's focus on that. So they're supposed to vote on it tonight, but they postponed it. I believe there was some outrage expressed, including in the Muslim community, which I imagine was not, many were not all too happy about this. So the left, the cultural left meets the conservative Islamic community here at some point.
No, it's very possible. But at the end of the day, even Omar Fateh, who is actually a part of that community, part of the DSA platform, he himself has come out in favor of this as well. So it's not going to be a big issue for them at the end of the day. They'd still want to push this through despite that. Because at the end of the day, yeah, the Democratic Socialist campaign, this is what they want to push.
Yeah, weed, sex clubs, OnlyFans. What else? What am I missing? You know, it's basically all that. Oh, online gambling. That's about it.
All right. There you go. That was Laura Ingraham last night on Fox News. And the Minneapolis City Council says this is all about removing the stigmatizing language associated with gay sex bathhouses. I have no idea what they're talking about here. The Minnesota Star Tribune says that bathhouses and sex clubs operated until 1988.
Oh, rubber ducky, you're the one.
What are you doing? What?
You make bath time lots of fun. Oh, rubber ducky, I'm Ernie. Awfully fond of you. Bo, bo, bo-dee-o, rubber ducky.
Is Bert in the bathtub too?
When I squeeze you, you make great noise. Question. Rubber ducky, you're my very best friend, it's true.
Oh, hello.
Every day when I make my way to the tubby, I find a little fella who's cute and yellow and chubby.
Rubber ducky. Can you say that about Asian people? Rubber I don't think
ducky,
you can.
You're so fine, and I'm lucky that you're mine. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you. Hey, rubber ducky, would you like me to scrub your back with
hello.
My nifty little scrub brush? You would? Okay, how's this? Hey, you want me to scrub behind your ears?
Oh, bird.
Ooh, I see. You don't have any ears, do you? Well, how about your tummy?
Careful now, Ernie.
Tummy. Ooh, he's ticklish.
Ooh. Oh, stop,
every day when I
yeah, stop, don't. Stop, stop, stop.
That duck was screaming for
oh
help.
Oh, my God. I think we need to call Law and Order CSI. Sweet mercy. Was that, a crime being committed?
Has to be.
Oh, my God. I just don't understand that. This is insane, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, but here's what gets me. The Muslims are all supportive of this. So what's going on there? That's what I don't understand. Anyway, the Minneapolis Star Tribune says that the bathhouses are going to be allowed to facilitate what they call high-risk sexual conduct, which includes words that we're not going to mention at lunchtime. Not here on the Todd Stearns radio show. I mean, we have sensitive ears here on this program. But all I can tell you is the word wazoo is mentioned a number of times. I'm just telling it right there. Oh, geez-a-loo. rubber ducky. Anyway, whatever you do, if you're going to one of these bathhouses in Minneapolis, don't drop the soap. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Dylan, I'm never going to be able to listen to that song again and not think about the Minnesota bathhouses.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, yeah. I feel sorry for the little rubber ducky. Need a health and wellness check. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Dylan, do you know where I am not at right now?
Where is that, Todd?
I'm not in Augusta, Georgia.
That's true.
And I'm a little put off by that. I guess we could have done the show from the Masters, but the problem is it would be problematic on a couple of levels. First of all, we would not be able to have these great conversations. And for example, yesterday I was grumpy Todd, and you know, I was raising my voice a little bit, and we would have had to have done the show like, "Hello America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show."
It's true.
Broadcasting from Amen Corner.
Very quiet.
I'm very upset right now, ladies and gentlemen. Angry, even. I'm raising my voice. You see, you can't do that.
No.
I mean, it feels like I'm at NPR.
I don't even think you can clap at the Masters. No, I don't know. There's a lot of rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of rules. By the way, one of the big rules is you're not allowed to have a cell phone out there on the course.
Yep.
And it turns out that the winner of the 1989 Open Championship was actually ejected from Augusta National Golf Club just a few minutes ago. They have a no-phone policy.
Wow.
And so Mark Calcevecchia, I may have butchered his last name, he was removed by security because they caught him using his phone.
You know what that feels like? That feels like when Scottie Scheffler got arrested, like right before he went on.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And the guy said, "You know what, guys, my bad." He said, "I should have, you know," he got caught.
He should know the rules more than anyone.
Yeah. So, and you get it. I mean, it happens. I love the way he responded to it, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's another story, you know, it's the food. And people, they don't talk a lot about the food at the Masters. I had to cover the Masters for Fox News the year Tiger Woods came back. And it was, people were like, "Oh my gosh, did you get to meet Tiger?" I'm like, I was literally tethered to the Fox News satellite truck, which at the time was parked in the front of a Jiffy Lube. So unless Tiger Woods was getting an oil change, there was no way I was going to be able to sail in a Tiger. And it's kind of a good thing now, you know, with his driving record. You know, we don't want to judge, but you know. So anyway, Garden and Gun Magazine has now ranked the top foods at the Masters, one of them being the egg salad sandwich. That's number 6. I'm kind of shocked because everybody loves the egg salad. The savory tomato pie, the pimento cheese is number 4. Number 3 is something called the Stand 12, which is like it's a combination of 3 beverages. Number 2 is the barbecue pork sandwich, and the number 1 item people love is the Georgia peach ice cream sandwich.
That sounds really good.
It does sound tasty. It's soft sugar cookies wrapped in ice cream.
Wow.
And they say it's like they describe it as the tenderness of, you know what, I've got to do this in my golf voice. Dylan, right now I'm quenching my thirst and my hunger with a delicious ice cream center, with the tenderness of a mother sheltering a newborn babe.
Sounds good.
That's how they described it.
Yeah.
Back to you, Dylan. So anyway, the funny thing here is that peach ice cream sandwich, $3.
Hmm.
The sandwiches, $1.50. That's it. They've never changed the prices.
I love that.
$1.50.
They're always really good, I've heard.
Exactly. If you have been, again, that's the Garden and Gun. They sort of listed in order their favorite foods at the Masters. Certainly would like to hear from you if you've actually been. The only people I know that get to go are these preachers, and I don't know how the preachers always get to go to the Masters. Something's up there. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We talked about this a little bit in the first segment of the program. There is a lot of ugliness within the Republican Party right now, and a lot of that is because President Trump, in order to win, needed to broaden the Republican Party tent. Unfortunately, a lot of anti-Semites managed to wiggle their way, squirm their way into the tent. And as a result of that, we've got a lot of Jew hatred even within the Republican Party right now. It is incredibly outrageous, and it's something that we have to talk about. And that's why I'm excited to welcome our next guest with us. He is the director of Christian outreach and engagement for the Combat Anti-Semitism Movement, EJ Campbell. EJ, happy to have you with us. I guess I should ask EJ, have you ever been to the Masters before we get into our conversation?
Well, I was going to say, I wish that we were doing this from the Masters. I have never been there, and I do like to get out and play golf, but I would say it's more of a hack job than playing golf.
No, look, same here. I love the game, but I'm horrible at the game. Certainly it's one of those quintessential, you know, American traditions, and we're big fans of the Masters and Augusta National. You know, EJ, I'm glad that you guys are really bringing this very disturbing issue to the forefront. And this is something that we need to have a national conversation about.
That's true. And that's why the Combat Anti-Semitism Movement was actually founded. We're a little over 7 years old as an organization, but that's not to say that this issue of anti-Semitism is only 7 years old. It's been going on for thousands of years. And there's been organizations trying to fight this for decades. The problem is, as you just mentioned, it's metastasizing. It is constantly changing. And if you're fighting the old style of anti-Semitism, you're missing out on what's coming up and what's happening now. And that's why we were created, is to pioneer these global efforts to combat Jew hatred. And it doesn't matter where it comes from. It comes from the left, from the right, from within elements of the Islamic world. We're going to call it out. We're going to deal with it and work on solutions to fight it.
I am an evangelical Christian, and in my faith tradition as a Southern Baptist, we were always taught in church and in Sunday school about the relationship of this country and Christians especially and Israel. And so a lot of my support for Israel is rooted in faith. And yet here lately, even people like Mike Huckabee and Franklin Graham and other pastors are now coming under fire. And it's really this ugliness that has, maybe it's been there all along and we just didn't see it, but that's really disturbing to me.
It's very disturbing. And that's why my role with the Combat Anti-Semitism Movement is so important, because we have to work with our Christian friends and understand the challenges that are going on within your communities as well, because this issue of anti-Semitism has really exploded, especially since October 7th, 2023. And what we have seen is that it's not just going after Jews, it's going after anyone that supports the state of Israel. And that's where evangelical Christians have been targeted. We've seen Christian services on Easter be targeted. We've seen Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lighting be targeted by protesters. We've even seen a crazed gunman, I believe it was in December 2024, shot up a Christian school in Northern California because of the, you know, quote, U.S. support for genocide in Gaza. And, you know, that targeted Christians, not Jews. And that's because of the support for Israel.
Well, look, I think they're coming after, you know, I always tell people, you better wake up, because the Islamists, they want to kill the Christians and they want to kill the Jews, not necessarily in that order. And LGBT folks, you better wake up, because they're coming after you as well. But that's another conversation. Dealing with anti-Semitism here in this country, when you look at what happened a couple of years ago in the latter years of the Biden administration, where so many of these university campuses were under siege, and Jewish students were literally running for their lives. And EJ, I kept thinking to myself, why isn't even the Democrat Party, why aren't they out there in force saying, stop this now? It made no sense to me.
Well, this is something that's been going on for years. And I used to talk about the problems on college campuses. And yeah, there were always excuses. It's about free speech. When a conservative would come on campus, when an Israeli former IDF soldier would come on campus, an Israeli official would come on campus, and protesters would shout them down to the point that they couldn't even speak. And it was always being defended as, this is free speech. But this wasn't about free speech. This was about shouting down and really blanket anti-Semitism and fascism going on these campuses. And so what happened was, after years of letting this just play out and sweep it under the rug, October 7th happened, but that wasn't the biggest trigger of this. It was October 8th when we saw this explode on college campuses, that anyone who looked at this logically said, this is not spontaneous. You cannot spontaneously be criticizing Israel less than 24 hours after that horrific massacre. This is something that has been prepared for years, and there are those that were being activated to push this message and, unfortunately, use useful idiots on college campuses that, in many cases, had no idea what they were even chanting for.
And using also idiots in what I call podcastistan. These people, I think they fooled a lot of folks, and now all of a sudden, you know, we're getting to see these people for who they really are. You know, I want to talk about the global coalition that you guys have built here. I mean, it's truly remarkable. And by the way, folks, the website, combatantisemitism.org, that's combatantisemitism.org. I mean, first of all, 25,000 incidents reported. That is just, it's an unacceptable number. But thank God people are getting engaged.
Yeah, and you know, those are incidents that we've been able to find based on what's been reported. And there's so many instances that go unreported. I've experienced things myself, but you know, when you're working in this space, you brush it off. Someone rolls down their window as someone's walking to synagogue and yells, you know, "You dirty Jew," or something. You know, most Jews aren't going to report that, because it's almost like that's the cost of doing business in America now. And so a lot of things aren't even reported, but even just looking at the numbers as they continue to rise, it is so vitally important that we don't view this as just a Jewish problem. It's a societal problem. And that's why we work on this issue, not just at the national level. And yes, we'll work in Congress and governments around the world, but we're working at the local level. We're working with mayors, because what's happening on the streets is vitally important, because if you can stop it there, then you don't even have to worry about the federal government's involvement, because then it's not an issue. And even if in a certain in a certain community, there may not be any anti-Semitism today, you've still got to be prepared, because tomorrow it may show up. And if you're not ready for it, it's going to take over.
No, well, you're absolutely right about that. And that's why I think it's so vitally important to understand we are in this, and we have to be in this together. And I remember when I lived in New York City, I lived in New York for about 15 years, EJ, in a Brooklyn area. And I was like, I think I was the only non-Jewish person in the neighborhood. And I got to volunteer, on the Sabbath, I got to volunteer to help my neighbors. You know, they weren't able to push a button or do things like that. And that was really, it was an honor, but it was also an honor to be a part of the culture and really came to respect, you know, that community in Brooklyn, New York. And again, it is so vitally important for us to stand together, Christians and Jews together, on this issue.
It is vitally important, and we have to have an understanding of what this relationship means in the history of Jews, Judaism, and Christianity. And, you know, that's why back in November, the Combat Anti-Semitism Movement with the ICEJ USA branch, we did a conference in Orlando bringing together 300 young future Christian leaders so that they could understand what the issues are, what the challenges are, and how to combat it. And then also to recognize it within their communities. And so they learned the Jewish issues going on, and also in the Christian space, replacement theology, these podcasts that are going out there that are, you know, anything that's not going well in society, it's either the Jews' fault or it's the Jewish state's fault. And that has really been a boon to help a younger generation that's getting tons of misinformation and disinformation to be able to wade through it and understand what the truth is, but more importantly, to be able to go out there and talk about it.
Yeah.
Because if they're not able to spread it to others, then we're not going to solve this problem.
All right, EJ, we're going to have to leave it there, my friend. And we'd love to get you back on to talk about more specific issues. But again, folks, you can go to combatantisemitism.org. That's combatantisemitism.org. And you'll be able to find out about the incredible work that EJ and the team are doing. EJ, welcome to the show. And we look forward to getting you back very soon.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
All right, E.J. Kimball, ladies and gentlemen, Director of Christian Outreach and Engagement for the Combat Anti-Semitism Movement. You know, Dylan, I'm an honorary member of the, here in Memphis, we have the Memphis Jewish Republican Club, and I'm an honorary member as a Gentile.
Very nice.
They just told me when it comes to barbecue, I can't, I got to bring the brisket.
Yeah, that's the one rule.
It's
got
to be brisket.
Rule.
I got to follow the rules.
Yeah.
It's like, my bad, oy vey. What are you going to do? All right, oh, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Have you been to the Masters? If so, I want to hear from you. I have yet to actually experience the game itself, you know, being able to go to the Masters. One of these days, that is going to happen. That's on the bucket list. Give us a call, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, I'm excited about our next caller, Bruce from North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate in those parts. Bruce, is this true? You were at the Masters? Don't be pulling my leg now. Bruce? Dylan, what happened to Bruce?
Maybe he's at the Masters and he's got to be quiet.
Oh, he's got to be quiet.
He's whispering.
Todd, this is Bruce. Security. No, Bruce can't be calling from the Masters because you can't have a cell phone there. All right, let me know if we get Bruce back. Now I'm just like incredibly dejected. Get ready, folks. Here comes Grumpy Todd.
Oh no.
All right. Do we have Bruce back with us?
I don't think so.
All right, we'll get Bruce back. Coming up in the next segment, this story out of Nashville. We first told you about this yesterday. The story out of Nashville where you have a high school that completely embraced the Muslim holidays. And they don't celebrate Christmas. They don't celebrate Easter or Good Friday. No Jewish stuff. They only celebrate the Muslim holidays. And they're actually, the teachers are encouraged to promote Islam to their students. So, do you think that is a good idea? We're going to be talking about that coming up in the next segment. At least two congressmen have already weighed in, and they're just outraged over all of this. We'll tell you what they had to say. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll get into that story. Also, a lot more happening. You folks in Houston, Texas, looks like you've got a rhino on your city council. We're going to tell you who that is. And they've added some new letters to the LGBT equation. Now it's the MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+ community. Jeez, aloo. We'll be right back. Well, I just got a note from one of our team members, and by the way, welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and this portion of the program is brought to us by our good friends at Newsmax TV. By the way, Newsmax really concerned as we're heading into the April 15th tax time to make sure that all of you are getting all of your Social Security benefits. And there was a study done. They say right around 70% of Americans are not getting the full benefits they deserve. But we have a Social Security expert by the name of Michael Allen, and he says that there are five key strategies to increase your benefits, and we want to provide those strategies to you free of charge. All you need to do is give Newsmax a call, 1-800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. 9690, and we will text you all of the information right away. And by the way, it could increase your benefits by as much as $188 over a lifetime. So again, the number, write it down, 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. So anyway, I was getting ready to come into our palatial news bunker earlier this morning, and I got a call from one of our great team members. Her name is Cheryl, and she is one of the kindest people that I know, and she is just like a bundle. Is a fair description, Dylan? A bundle of energy, is that a good way to describe?
Yeah, Cheryl. That's pretty good.
Yeah, she is fierce, and she drives this the Jeep, right?
It's like a Hummer almost.
It is
the Hummer.
You better get out of her way.
Yeah,
I rode with her once.
That's all it takes.
That's one all time. It takes. But anyway, she's a lot of fun, and she loves conservative talk radio, and she's been with us for what, 3 years, 4 years, I think. It's been a lot of fun. Anyway, got a call from Cheryl, and she just needs our prayers, and she asked if I would pass this along, and I said I would be honored to, because we actually have a great praying audience. I mean, when you guys, we've had several of our folks. Oh, by the way, we haven't heard from Miss Patty in Statesville, North Carolina in a while. Hope she's doing well. So, and Miss Janice down in New Orleans. So we have a lot of folks that we pray for, and I love that about this show. So anyway, her great grandbaby was born last night, and there were some pretty significant complications. This happened in Oxford, and they had to airlift the baby to Lebanon Children's Hospital here in Memphis. And that's where she is right now. And I know she's listening to this show. So babies, it's a tough situation. And mom is not doing well either. She's in Oxford at the hospital there. And if you don't mind just praying for Miss Cheryl and, you know, her family, and just pray for a miracle, and the baby will be okay, and the mom will be okay. And we just want to just shower them with our blessings and with blessings and love today. And I hope that you take a moment and pray for Miss Cheryl and her great grandbaby. This is great grandbaby number two for her. So anyway, just a tremendous lady, and we just love her to death, and just good, good people. And that's one of the things, you know, I was reading us every evening. I do a lot of reading after I go home. Dylan plays video games, I hear. That's what I hear from the missus. That's the rumor. It's
it's entertainment, Todd.
Oh, entertainment. My apologies. Or it's esports. Wasn't Ian telling us that's like it's like the latest craze?
It's serious. Yeah, it's a real thing.
There's a Christian college where, and you can actually get, they have an esports degree or something.
Yeah.
You can get a degree in
professional
it.
Gamer.
That's it. Professional gamers.
That's what I want.
So I'm reading last night. Not playing video games. My video game, look, this is terrible. Who was it? Ben Dieter was giving me a hard time once because he got a hold of my phone, and he said, "Are you kidding me? You've only got one game on your phone?" And I guess what game it is.
For you, I'm going to guess like one of the old games, like Cut the Rope or something.
Oh, my God, one of the old games.
Or Fruit Ninja. You probably got Fruit Ninja.
I don't play any gay games. No, I don't judge, but I just don't play any.
Flappy Bird? Is it Angry Birds, Todd?
Flappy Birds? Flappy Birds?
Flappy Bird. That used to be the craze.
No, solitaire.
Yeah, of course.
That's all I've got.
Of course.
Did Helen guess solitaire?
She did. She guessed it.
Oh, gosh. And that's all I play. I know it drives people nuts, but I just like solitaire.
That's okay. I play chess on my phone, so if anything, that's my one educational fun game app. On my phone.
What were we talking about? Oh, yes. Yeah. So anyway, I'm reading last night, and they're talking about radio, and, you know, it was a lot of times people, when they, you know, they're like, oh, radio is going to, and no, radio is fine. Radio is not going away. I think one of the biggest problems with radio has been the corporate takeover of radio. And I don't believe that's ever what radio was meant to be. And I truly believe that the salvation of radio is going to be through local ownership. And many of you are listening to this program on locally owned, locally run radio stations. and count your blessings. And I hope that you do whatever you do to support your local radio station. Because, look, it's tough in the broadcasting business. It's, you know, that's the way it goes. It's always been that way. But one of the things that I was reading this study, and they said that a lot of young people are now starting to listen to radio, and they're pushing aside the podcast. They're not getting rid of the podcast, but I think at some point, Dylan, you know, it's like you can only listen to so many podcasts, and everybody's doing
Everybody has a podcast. Oh my gosh! Yeah, I've even found myself listening to radio. I listen to our radio station all the time. I don't even listen to music anymore. I just listen to radio.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear you say that you listen to the radio station that pays your salary. Yes. That's good to know.
We have great programming here.
Anybody else want to fess up over there behind the...
They all put their heads down.
I noticed that. But you know, and again, there's nothing wrong with podcasting at all. There's nothing wrong with TV or the internet or streaming or any of that. But what makes radio unique, and everybody has its own, every genre of broadcasting has its own uniqueness. But what really makes radio unique is this connection you have from the person sitting behind the microphone to the person listening, whether they're in a car or on a tractor, or maybe they're listening in their classroom when they shouldn't be, or they're at the Masters. That's what makes radio. It's the sense of community, and it's that one-on-one connection, and you just don't get that with any other form of broadcasting. And so we're going to get to the Nashville story in just a minute, but I want to finish this here, because I do believe in radio, and people always ask me, oh, you know, what's it like being on Newsmax? And it's fine. It's great. We have a great time, but that's not what my passion is. My passion is sitting behind this microphone every day and hanging out with you fine people. You know, I was texting with one of our great affiliates in St. Louis, and they carry our show a little bit later in the evening time, and it's a locally owned radio station there in St. Louis. They have they carry us on all three of their stations in the St. Louis area, and just salt of the earth, good, decent people. And I love it, because we're all in it we just love radio, and we love talking to people. And we love having a platform where we can, you don't have to be afraid of saying something unless it's a bad word. And, you know, I don't want to get fined by the FCC, so we have to, you know, bleep you. But otherwise, you know, we love the conversations. So let's talk about Nashville and what's happening here at this school. So it is it's Overton High School. And we mentioned this briefly yesterday, but Overton High School is under a lot of fire because they celebrated Ramadan, and it wasn't just a one and done thing. This was a massive celebration of the holiday. They decorated the school and the cafe gymnatorium. The teachers decorated their classrooms. They were allowing, and this school allows Muslim students private space where they can conduct their prayers. They're allowed to get out of school, 15 minutes early so they can pray. No other accommodations are given to children of the Christian faith or the Jewish faith. And I find that, ladies and gentlemen, to be a great big problem. And so do a number of members of Congress. I know John Rose and also Andy Ogles have been pretty outspoken about this. And they've been posting information on their social media pages, really demanding answers and explanations. Now, John Rose writing this: a Nashville public school is celebrating Ramadan during school hours over multiple days, but Metro Nashville Public Schools merely referred to the Christian holy day of Good Friday as spring holiday in their district calendar. Also, we went to go check to see what Christmas looked like, and it turns out they refer to Christmas as the winter holiday. So are you seeing all of this? Do you understand what's going on here? Because this is really nothing more than the Islamification of a major school district in the southern states, which also happens to be, by the way, the buckle of the Bible Belt. I want to read what Congressman Andy Ogles had to say. The school created specialized cafeterias. They hosted Ramadan dinners on its campus to cater to Muslims in his district. This is actually in Congressman Andy Ogle's district. Teachers are providing prayer rugs for students. Meanwhile, Christians have seen every trace of their religion erased from American education. And a lot of people are just really put off by this. So, again, if you're going to do this for the Muslims, you've got to do it for the Christians and you've got to do it for the Jews. At least that's their mindset. Now, me personally, this is where I stand. I don't believe it ought to be tolerated at our schools. I'm talking about the Islamic faith, and here's the reason why. That's not what our country was founded on. Our country was founded on Judeo-Christian values and beliefs. And when you get away from that, and when you allow Islam, which I believe to be more of a political movement than anything else, and a radical political movement at that, when you introduce Islam, it does not work. It is not compatible with our way of life. It is not compatible with Western civilization. And that's why we're seeing complete chaos right now on the streets of, I don't know, places like the UK and Belgium and France and Germany, for example. So it's going to be interesting to see this story play out. We're going to be talking about it tonight at 5 o'clock Eastern. We've got a panel coming on to debate what's happening there in the Nashville School District. And I'm just curious, does that concern you? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Dylan, you know, we try to be, we don't judge here. You know, we make fun of people, but we don't judge. The alphabet activists are at it again. You know, they've added more alphabet letters. They've added more letters to their name. And it's hard to keep up. I mean, it's like they're coming up with new, like, genders every day.
You would think that they would use different letters in the alphabet, but they seem to be repeating letters.
They're running out.
It's hard. It's hard to keep up.
Yeah, they go to the Greek, the Russian alphabet.
They should, yeah.
So anyway, over at Canada, they're having a big challenge. Canada is now being called the gay capital of the world after they have released new letters for the LGBT community. And I want you to hear cut three. This is what they've announced.
Deal with the ongoing genocide of MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+. This is abhorrent.
So there you go. It's the MMIWG25. Is that an S or a 5? It's got to be an S. Is it S or 5? I can't. Oh, I think it's an S. All right, let me try that again. It's the MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+, humpback I, crooked letter I. Wait a second, that's Mississippi. Sorry, I got carried away there for a minute. What is going on here? So apparently, these are the new letters. Canada, let's play cut number four. That might try to help us out here.
We will not let fear win. A world without trans people has never existed. A world without drag has never existed, and it never will. Queer people have always been here amongst us. They are our coworkers. They are our brothers, our sisters.
Drag queen.
They are our mothers, our fathers. They are our families. Drag is art. Drag is culture. Drag is educational. Drag is creative. Drag is comedy, but drag is not a crime. My name is Scarlett Bobo, and thank you so much for your time.
So, we had to look this up. It's tough, folks, and we try to educate here on this program. So if you hear somebody, I don't know, Dylan, you're wandering down. What's the gayest place in Memphis? Do we know? Is it
probably
Midtown?
That crosswalk?
Crosswalk across.
It's just the crosswalk, I think.
Just the crosswalk. Where,
if you're on that crosswalk, it's
gay. The gay crosswalk.
Yeah, it's rainbow.
Have you noticed that when you? It's like I have seen like manly men. They walk across as soon as their foot touches the gay crosswalk.
Yeah.
The hips start to. It's kind of like a sachet.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they get off, they're right back to walking like heterosexually.
It's crazy.
Whatever that means.
It's crazy what happens.
It's shocking, right? I don't. So anyway, we're in so much trouble right now. So anyway, if you were to walk up and so let's just say you're at the crosswalk and this gal of girth kind of lumbers up to you and she's, hello, my name is Darlene. I'm a member of the MMIWG2S LGBTQQIA plus community. You're like, oh, you know, howdy do or something. You know, I don't want you to be shocked by that.
I would not say she's in America, but that's.
Here's what it stands for. Missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls and two-spirit, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer questioning, intersex and anal. Asexual. My apologies. I don't have my reading glasses on. Asexual. They forgot one letter, Dylan. That would be the letter R for retard. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us. Is this true, Dylan? This can't be true. A queer club in Atlanta put on a VeggieTales drag show. Is that true?
It's true, yeah.
They're literally throwing dollar bills at Larry the Cucumber singing the Hairbrush song. No, we've got audio of this?
Yes.
Well, let's take a little listen here.
VeggieTales drag show.
Okay, we're good. I don't want to know where that hairbrush is, to be honest with you.
Not in good places.
No. So the concern I have here is VeggieTales. I don't think anybody outside of the Christian community would even know what VeggieTales is, right?
That's the concerning part.
That's right, exactly.
All these people know every word of the VeggieTales songs.
What in the world happened to these? What happened to these kids? What was going on to their youth group? Yeah. Jeez, hello. All right, there you go. Put Larry on the. I did always wonder about Larry. Of course, Bob wasn't even a vegetable. The tomato. I mean, the tomato's a fruit, for God's sakes. So there was some transaction going on there. Bob was identifying as a vegetable. You know, it's really sad. All of the clues were there. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, this is not funny. Someone just sent me a GIF of Bob the Tomato. What is going on here? This is ridiculous. Oh, it's our good buddy Noah down in WPMO, our great affiliate in Pascagoula, Mississippi. If you missed the very last segment, this crazy story out of Atlanta where they are they're producing a VeggieTales-themed drag show, and the whole crowd is in on all of this. And clearly, it just seems to me, Dylan, that the alphabet activists have gone mad.
Absolutely.
MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+.
Hey. Yeah, I mean, I've never seen anything like this before. So the crazy thing about this story, and let's just, we'll give people another little taste of this. Maybe perhaps that's the wrong choice of words. But anyway, apparently guests were literally throwing dollar bills at a big burly man dressed as Larry the Cucumber singing the Hairbrush song.
Nobody is all that.
Okay, we're good. Yeah, that's enough. So again, this is all coming from a queer club in Atlanta. This is from the website protestia.com. They cover a lot of this anti-Christian crap out there. And this was at a place called the Lore Atlanta. The queer bar and nightclub regularly hosts drag performances, and they put on a VeggieTales drag cabaret. The I'm just going to read this announcement here. This is crazy. Do you like to talk to tomatoes? If a squash can make you smile, have we got a show for you? VeggieTales Drag Cabaret, here with all your favorites. Starring, and I guess these are the drag queen performers, Dylan, someone named Aries Alexander without any other, like, vowels. So it's A-L-X-N-D-R, Evie Noir, J.C. Rocket, and someone named Coochie Coochie Coo.
What character did they play?
I don't know. Maybe one of the Grapes of Wrath, yeah, who never take a bath. The performers included Larry the Cucumber, Bob the Tomato, something called a Mr. Lunt. What is that? I'm not familiar with Lunt.
Oh, Lunt. He's a main guy. He's a main character.
And Mr. Nezzer?
I think he's a squash.
Mr. Nezzer. All I can say, the gourds must be crazy about this.
Wait, he's actually a gourd. That's what he is. That's who he is. That guy you were talking about.
The queens danced and lip-synced to the show's biggest hits and silly songs with Larry, including his cheeseburger, the hairbrush song, the rumor read, and the bunny song, while onlookers threw dollar bills at them. I would say that, and again, my question is, what happened in the churches where these people grew up? Because clearly all of these people grew up in like the evangelical church world, because everybody, that's where all of that existed. And so it does make you wonder what's going on here. I mean, in all seriousness. But you know, the creator of VeggieTales sort of went woke back in the day. And so you really have to wonder what's going on with all of that. But again, what do you expect from the alphabet activist?
MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+.
Let's go to Jerry in Iowa, listening to us on radio station KXEL. Jerry, what's on your mind?
Yeah, Todd, I wanted to ask you if you remember a few years ago there's this gay men's choir out in San Francisco. There's like 30 of them singing, and the song line is, "We're coming for your children," except they say, "We're coming for your children." And that, in conjunction with Islamic schools who are competing with Vacation Bible School, having as children's Islamic activities. So here we are, they're coming for our children, and I'm just encountering this new phenomenon of, well, it's not new, people... like, why don't you speak up ever or say anything? And they're just the wise observer. Like, well, I don't like to get involved in the fray. I'm just sort of a neutral, wise person who keeps silent. And here they are. They're coming for our children. And you've got people who are just sort of noncommittal. They won't speak up in the workplace. I'm not saying you have to be full-blown activist, but they don't do anything. They just sort of gather all this information, and they let others come for our children. Now they're going for Veggie Tales, and what are the Christians going to do about it? Just go home. That's so shameful. Naughty, naughty. But will anybody do anything about it?
Yeah, look, it's a great question you raised, Jerry. And again, I think the concern is that there was a generation. I think this is a generational thing. And there was a generation that was raised in the church. And I think this, if we're going to go back and pinpoint, and we were talking about this during the break, I think it's between like the 1990s and the early 2000s when churches became more focused on entertainment, more focused on the worship band experience, and not so much on teaching kids about the faith. And I think that's where you started to see things slide, primarily because they just were not teaching, you know, biblical truth in a lot of these churches. They wanted kids to have a good time. It was all about feelings, and a lot of the worship services and worship movements that were birthed out of that time period were all about feelings. And so it was really, it was based on nothing. There was no foundation there. And I think as a result of that, you ended up getting a lot of young people going into to seminaries, those young people becoming pastors. And we have literally seen a watering down of the Christian faith in America. And I think it actually happened within youth groups. I've always said the most important position, aside from the pastoral position, is whoever is leading the youth group, because that's going to be one of the most influential people in your church.
And then there's this, and it sounds like faith only and not works. That we know, I don't want to get into a theological discussion, and we know that faith is, we're saved by faith and not by works. But it's to the extent where you just go to church, you get inspired, and then you do nothing. What about, I got a definition of conservatism. For me, conservatism is the biblical application to self-government and politics. And it's great to be inspired and to feel good and to have faith in your heart. What about doing something about it? The founding generation, they did something about it in 1776. They had faith, but they also had works.
Well, I don't want to get into a theological discussion, but I get your point and what you're talking about. But it's a problem, and it's a problem because we need strong churches and strong pulpits in this country, and we have some, but we don't have a lot, and we need a lot more. Otherwise, we're just going to continue to see this chaos in the culture. And again, I don't want to get the hate mail from the worship band crowd, because I love a good worship band like everybody else. But that cannot be the focus of your church. That it just cannot be. That is not biblical. Jerry, gotta run. Thank you for that. 901-260-5926. Kind of telling you what they're doing, right? A choir full of tenors. Okay, I'm just completely creeped out now. Look, that is the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, and a few years ago, they performed this song. This was an original song they wrote, and they're mocking you, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, but they're also outlining their agenda to you. And when they say they're coming for your children, it doesn't mean they're snatching them off the streets or out of their bedrooms. It means they're indoctrinating your children, and they're doing it in our nation's public schools. And let me say this, also the nation's Christian schools, you've got to, that's even worse, but it's happening. And that's why it's so vitally important for you, mom and dad, to pay attention to what your kids are learning and what the teachers are teaching in those classrooms. I mean, it really is that simple. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we've got the very latest on what's happening with Maria Salazar, this effort by Republicans to advance an amnesty plan. But first, I want to tell you about my new book. I'm very excited about The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And we want you to, right now, get a pre-ordered copy of the book, The Golden Age. Literally just seconds ago, I received a text message from our good friend, Congressman Jim Jordan from Ohio, and he is one of the latest people to endorse the book. Here's what Congressman Jordan, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, had to say. President Trump has made America stronger on every front. He set our nation on a path toward a new golden age, and Todd Stearns' compelling book tells that incredible story. So thank you for that, Congressman, and we would love for you to get a pre-ordered copy. And if you have a child, if you have a grandchild, If you have a niece or a nephew and they're of teenage years, they need to read this book. They need to understand what Trump did for us and how we can carry the torch into the next generation. You can get The Golden Age wherever you buy your books. Barnes & Noble is really where we're directing people to, but Books A Million, Amazon, again, wherever you buy your books, get yourself a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, I want to play this conversation. We love having Mary Walter and Kay Smythe Hill joining me on my Newsmax show. And we have a lot of fun and talk about a lot of different issues. Here's that conversation. Okay, this is for you. In between planning the bombing run across Iran, the president decided to hang out with the kids yesterday at the White House Easter egg roll. And I want you to watch this little weird, sort of surreal moment.
More hostile than Iran. They're capable fighters. They're very tough people. And there are others like that. You don't mind when the enemy is weak, but that enemy is strong. Not so strong like they were about a month ago, I can tell you. In fact, right now, they're not too strong at all, in my opinion, but we're soon going to find out, aren't we?
I can sign autographs. Biden would use the autograph. He was incapable of signing things, so they'd follow him around with a big machine, an auto skull, and autograph.
What's going on with Easter egg?
Donald Trump, you're the best.
Thank you, honey. I agree.
Yeah, okay, only in America would a president threaten to obliterate Iran standing next to a giant Easter bunny.
Yeah, surreal is definitely the word. Not sure that was like the best weekend to bring that up, but I also just think it's so on brand for Trump. Like, this is the guy who said he would absolutely flatten Moscow, and we all know that he meant it. So, you know, the fact that he's threatening Iran from Easter Sunday, again, just feels extremely on brand. I thought the bit with the kids, I mean, firstly, the guy in the Easter Bunny outfit and all of those children are going to dine out on that story for the rest of their lives. It doesn't matter what dinner party they're at, what bar they're parked up at. For the rest of their lives, they will tell the story of being right there at that moment. And people will be fascinated by it, and they'll find it hilarious. It's a great dinner party story. So, you know, yes, we're all sort of sitting here thinking, like, okay, is World War III going to, like, officially begin, like, this evening? Let's hope not, so we can focus on the surreal bizarreness of those series of clips. Also, the bit about Biden, genius, brilliant, hilarious. Love it.
All right. Mary, got to jump in here. Yes. The world still watching Artemis II up in space. Astronaut Victor Glover becoming an unexpected sex symbol after being caught on camera taking a space shower after working out. Mary, is your heart palpitating right now?
Let me tell you. Hold on. Finally, finally, NASA gives women a reason to watch this stuff, right? So I was on the air earlier today with all men, and they're talking about, oh, this is great. Why aren't you interested in this? Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, have you seen the pilot of that of the crew? Dude's hot, and he is pumped. I mean, he's buff. So I started talking about that, and suddenly we didn't want to talk about Artemis anymore on the show this morning. Yeah, finally some eye candy and a reason for women to watch astronauts in space. Thank you, NASA. Thank you. And I'll be looking for the live feed every day now.
Kay, I'll give you a chance to weigh in here on the dude in space.
I'm not going to get distracted. I'm not going to get distracted by what is clearly the greatest distraction tactic. I want to know if we, A, went to the moon the first time, and B, if we did, are we going back, or is this going to be the first official moon landing? Or I have friends that theorize that the original guys who went to the moon saw something up there that they weren't supposed to see. I don't know. There's been a lot of UFO talk lately. I'm not going to be distracted by the super hot NASA astronaut guys. I'm not, but he is like, what a snack. Well done, NASA. You nailed it.
Yes, right. I'm a fan now. Meanwhile, I'm going to follow them on X.
All right, ladies. Moving on. A woke white gal says that manicuring your lawn is a sign of white supremacy and colonialism, and she wants people to stop mowing the grass. Let's take a listen.
I can't stop thinking about how grass lawns are racist and, like, based in white supremacy. If that doesn't make sense, that's okay, I guess. It seems really obvious to me. It's really upsetting. Bring back weeds. Bring back clover yards. Look, can we just... Can anything just be okay in its natural state, or do we just have to whitewash everything, make it a competition?
All right. I don't want to get into the weeds here, Mary, but is it really racist to weed your garden?
Well, so fun fact, grass that we have on our lawns is a weed. So I'm not quite sure where she was going with this. She just needs something to complain about.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. A lot of big congressional races we're going to be following. By the way, interesting developments in California in the governor's race out there. Our good friend Steve Hilton is leading in all of the polls. Chad Bianco had been like number one, then he dropped to second place. Now he's down to third place, and Eric Swalwell is on the rise, but you've got Swalwell, who's now in the throes of what could be massive sexual harassment scandals of many varieties. And Antonio Villaraigosa, the former mayor of Los Angeles, is now calling for Swalwell to step aside. One of the big challenges here is that Trump actually threw in and endorsed Steve Hilton. And you say, why is that a problem? Well, because the way California votes work for the governor's race, it's a jungle primary. So whoever the top two finishers are, they go on to compete in the general, whether they are from the same party or not. So the thinking was that you would have the sheriff of Riverside County and Steve Hilton going at it. And therefore, California would be guaranteed of a Republican governor. Now, who knows? We shall see how all that plays out. Meanwhile, in Tennessee, the 6th Congressional District, that's the district that is currently occupied by Congressman John Rose, who is running to be the governor of Tennessee, which means that there is a mad dash to replace Congressman Rose. Now, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, we're honored to have Sergeant Major John Henry from the U.S. Marine Corps, retired, and he has thrown his hat into the ring to run for Congress. Mr. Henry, good to have you with us today.
Mr. Todd, thank you so much for having me. I'm truly humbled to be here with you.
So, I've read your career, and you've got a great resume. Why in the world do you want to go to Congress?
Listen, I think the people really need a choice, not just a normal politician to run, but one an everyday average person like myself, someone who lives from a small town, who believes in Jesus Christ, who truly is a conservative at heart.
You know, you talk about wanting to be the voice for farmers and veterans and small business owners. What would that look like? What are some of the big issues that you want to address if you get elected?
Yes, sir. There's three big issues we talk about. And number one is agriculture. Right now, young people coming out of high school, they can't go into agriculture. What's happened is we've monopolized the meat market. So beef, chicken, pork, it's all been monopolized by the large conglomerates. Also with our industry, you know, you've been around and you reported this when NAFTA came to town. A lot of these small communities, you being there in Memphis, outside Memphis, all these small communities used to have small factories, textile factories. It's all been taken away with NAFTA. Bad policy by bad politicians, what we've come to. And the last platform is our education, which I really, really, really know in the heart is what's taken a lot of Christianity out of our schools across America.
Well, no doubt about that. Of course, one of the big stories we've been talking about over the past 2 days, this is outside of your district, but it's over in Nashville, Congressman Andy Ogles, talking about this high school, Overton High School, where they have truly embraced the celebrating the Muslim holidays. Meanwhile, they're not providing the same sort of platform or celebration for Christian students. And I think a lot of people are surprised to see the rise of Islam in a place like Tennessee.
Yes, sir. I agree 100%. As a national, obviously, national security is front and center. As a 27-year Marine, it has to be front and center. And I worry a lot about the enemy outside, but as you just said, it's the enemy within. Who is coming to our country? Who is not assimilating? And why would we bow down to another religion outside the Christian religion that is the foundation of this country? I have serious issues with that.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because the Washington Post actually published an op-ed just the other day. I want to read the headline to you, and it's really causing a lot of shock. This came out yesterday, just in the Washington Post. Muslims should not have to assimilate to belong. How do you respond to that sort of thinking?
Well, that just can't be. I mean, I'm a constitutionalist. We know that you must assimilate to come to this country. It is a Christian country founded on Christian values, Christian principles. We believe that, and that has to be the way it is. So what it must take is enforcing that type of assimilation into our communities by our elected officials who must stand up for those of us out here in small town America.
I'm curious, with your military background, and by the way, how long did you serve in the Marine Corps?
27 years, sir.
Wow.
Across three wars, yes, sir. Desert Storm, Operation Iraqi Freedom twice, and Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan. So it was a long time.
Well, we certainly appreciate your service to our great country, sir. I want to get your reaction to what's been happening over the past couple of weeks. We have been at war with Iran. Right now, we are in a ceasefire. How do you think things are going so far? What are your observations?
Well, people ask me, Mr. Todd, and I'll be honest with you, as a Marine, we've been waiting since 1983, when the Marine barracks on a Sunday morning, when the Marine barracks were hit and killed all those Marines. We've kind of been waiting for this day, 40-something years now, and we're so grateful. But most people will tell you that this is what they would say is, I think we refer to it as Gulf War III. And we know it can't be Gulf War II, where it's prolonged and drawn out. It's got to be like the first war I served with, Desert Storm. It's in, we're done, we come back home. We know that's what we have to do, unlike those two 20-year wars that I participated in.
Well, and that's the big concern, I think, among a lot of people. And, of course, we all want to support our troops, no matter where they are. But at the same time, we just, we've been through the forever wars, and President Trump campaigned on that promise not to put us in another forever war. And I mean, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. But I think there are a lot of people that are just concerned only because of the way previous Republican presidents have handled these kinds of things.
For decades. Yes, sir. Mr. Todd, we see it. We know that war is a product of failed foreign policy. And everybody before President Trump, it seems like Republican and Democrat, has been failed foreign policy. Have we not worked this out prior? And now it comes up. But now that we're here, it must be taken care of. It must be whatever steps we need to take to determine the outcome, and it must be enforced. We look for a powerful resolution to this current skirmish that we see in the Middle East.
So, it's a crowded field. You've got Van Hillary, who is going to be running as well. Why would he make a bad choice for Congress?
Well, I think people are ready to turn over a new leaf, right? We're tired of the same politicians running, the same folks that we see, cast of characters every single time running, endless money. We're a grassroots campaign, and we understand what grassroots mean, not as much money. Plenty of character, but not enough money. And that's why we hope your viewers will come visit Henry for Congress and be part of this movement. We believe every ordinary people should have the ability to run for office. Van Hillary is not one of those, and neither is Johnny Garrett or their opponent. They're the normal political class, and that's where we're at today.
All right. Well, Mr. Henry, we wish you nothing but the very best. Good luck to you out there on the campaign trail. And again, I do want to share this website address, henryforcongress.com. That's henryforcongress.com. NASAGivesWomen.com, and you'll be able to read all about his platform and a little bit of biographical information as well. Again, henryforcongress.com. Mr. Henry, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, sir. And you can also join me on Facebook as well, Henry for Congress. And I'm so grateful that you took the time to interview me today.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Sergeant Major John Henry spent more than two decades in the Marine Corps, so you know he's good people. Wow, there you go. That's going to be a wild race. I'm telling you, there is, and I keep hearing this word over and over again. This is all over the country, grassroots. And I think when we hear that word, that is a good word to hear, because grassroots Republicans feel like they've sort of been shoved aside here, that they no longer matter. And that's, look, I see this in the Memphis area where I was involved in Republican politics, and there are a lot of folks that do not want regular, good, hardworking people to be a part of their political party. And that is a losing formula every single time. By the way, Dylan, I don't know if you caught this. This may be the first time in the history of the program, I've been called Mr. Todd.
This is true. I think by a guest, you know, there's a few callers that'll say that, but by a guest, I think so.
I like that. We're going to start requiring that from now on.
Okay, Mr. Todd.
Okay, that's weird. By the way, coming up, Melania Trump is on the warpath. She just came out moments ago and had some things to say about Jeffrey Epstein. We're going to play that audio for you when we come back. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Okay, let me explain what's going on here. There's some weird things happening at the White House. Melania Trump came out. They announced today she wanted to make a statement, and everybody thought it was about something fairly innocuous, but she just dropped a bombshell. So back in January, you might remember there were these allegations that Melania Trump had actually been introduced to Donald Trump by Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, and it was just a sordid mess and ugliness and fake photos and all of that kind of stuff. And everybody pretty much forgot about it. Well, now Melania Trump is coming out and making a statement about those photos and that story. But then she turns around, and keep in mind, her husband, the president, has been trying to bury the Epstein report, right? He wants it done and over with. Melania Trump is now coming out and saying that she wants congressional investigations. I want you to take a listen.
With the disgraceful Jeffrey Epstein, need to end today. The individuals lying about me are devoid of ethical standards, humility, and respect. I do not object to their ignorance, but rather I reject their mean-spirited attempts to defame my reputation. I never been friends with Epstein. Donald and I were invited to the same parties as Epstein from time to time, since overlapping in social circles is common in New York City and Palm Beach. To be clear, I never had a relationship with Epstein or his accomplice, Maxwell. My email reply to Maxwell cannot be categorized as anything more than casual correspondence. My polite reply to her email doesn't amount to anything more than a tribal note. I am not Epstein's victim. Epstein did not introduce me to Donald Trump. I met my husband by chance at the New York City party in 1998. This initial encounter with my husband is documented in a detail in my book, Melania. The first time I crossed paths with Epstein was in the year 2000 at an event Donald and I attended together. At the time, I had never met Epstein and had no knowledge of his criminal undertakings.
All right. And she goes on, and there's a lot more to this, but she is now, she's also saying there are a lot of men walking around who bear responsibility as well. And she's wanting Congress to get involved here. So may we just step back from this for just a moment. And again, the First Lady addressing the nation, formally denying rumors that she had any sort of relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. She had never been friends with Jeffrey Epstein. She also said she was not Epstein's victim and that Epstein did not introduce her to Donald Trump. She actually met the president by chance at a New York City party in 1998. And she's basically ripping the media a new one here, talking about the media lying about her, says they are devoid of ethical standards. So the question now is, what does Congress do? Does, and again, we've got all of this documentation, and it's her, you know, her husband, the president, is the one who wanted this stuff to be buried and pushed aside and said, we got to move on here. But now we've got the First Lady of these great United States saying, hey, look, we need to get to the bottom of this. What do you think here, ladies and gentlemen? What do you think ought to happen? She's calling, and I want to read to you the this is what she's saying. Now is the time for Congress to act. Epstein was not alone. I call on Congress to provide the women who have been victimized by Epstein with a public hearing specifically centered around the survivors. Give these victims their opportunity to testify under oath in front of Congress with the power of sworn testimony. Each and every woman should have her day to tell her story in public if she wishes, and then her testimony should be permanently entered into the congressional record. What do you think about that idea? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I just want to go back here and restate my position, which has angered pretty much the entire country, but it bears repeating. I say release everything, every single thing. Release it all. If people, and forget about, I'm tired of the names being blacked out. Release everything and start holding people accountable. If they broke the law, these people, these sex fiends, need to be held accountable. It's very simple to me. And all of this could have been avoided by the first 2 weeks of the new administration. This could have been dealt with. But the Justice Department has botched every single major investigation. May I remind you that not a single person has been held accountable for the Russia collusion hoax. Not a one. And I don't think anybody's ever going to be held accountable for anything. That's where I think we are with all of this stuff. So this is rather shocking to hear the First Lady coming out, and she's saying something that I'm just curious if the president knew that she was going to come out and say what she said. We'll keep you updated on this. We're going to have more on this tonight at 5 o'clock Eastern on the Todd Stern Show as we analyze what exactly led the First Lady to come out and break this news just moments ago on national television. So we'll keep you updated on that. But this story is far from over. The Epstein story is far from over. And I just simply believe that if people that are in powerful positions, if they did those horrible things to those young girls, they should face the full force of the law. It's really that simple for me. All right, folks, ToddStearns.com. We'll have the very latest there. Please go and check out our website. Also, while you are there, you can download a couple of things free of charge. Our app. You can listen to 24 hours of conservative talk radio free of charge on your smartphone. You can also download our free podcast. Listen to all 3 hours of the Todd Stearns Show at your leisure. And you can also sign up for our daily newsletter. And we do not spam. We don't share your information. We just want to make sure you are getting accurate, exclusive intel. And you can do that by signing up for our free newsletter at ToddStearns.com. All right, shaping up to be a busy news afternoon, everybody. Be sure to listen to your local radio station. We're back tomorrow, noon o'clock Eastern. Be good, America.